You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
I totally did not forget about you guys, even though it might seem like I had. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. I let Sunday's post game, since I did it on Sunday rather than Saturday, kind of count for Mondays. So that's what I decided to do. Don't know how, if we're going to do a post game. We're going to try to do a post game on Saturday after Iowa while I'm still at Iowa. We'll see if we can make that work. I don't know how it will work logistically on the road, but going to try. But anyway, we are back and we are in Iowa week. I feel like this is weird. Like I feel like we're in this weird flux where I don't feel like I have a lot more to say. It's partially why I didn't have an episode on Monday. Cause I'm like, what am I going to say that I didn't say on Sunday? What am I going to say that I haven't said kind of already to this point? We're going to know a lot more about what Michigan is capable of coming out of this week. Not defensively. We learned defensively that, okay, things are all right. I don't think Michigan could beat Ohio State Saturday if they faced off against each other, but I think that's was probably true going into week five last year. Maybe not. I mean, Ohio State had lost to Oregon, but I think that especially this year, that's true. Michigan hasn't gone on the road yet. It goes to Kinnick. I remember being at Kinnick Stadium in 2016. In a game where it kind of felt like Michigan was about to start doing what it was going to do. It's up 10 to nothing. And then it had that fourth down incapability of getting into the end zone situation. Memory serves. I don't know. That whole game is a giant blur. I will say this because, I mean, I was certainly emotionally affected by Michigan still at that time. I was still very much a biased reporter. I was in my first year of covering the team full time. After being a mega, like a, you know, an alum, a mega fan, all of those things for years. That game is a big blur. Sometimes I remember a moment, I'm like, oh yeah, right, okay. Like I think about like, oh, the Devin Bush punt block penalty, you know, or I think there was a hit in that game. I think it was the same thing. You know, I remember just little bits and pieces, but I don't remember a lot. I just remember it was a house of horrors. That's what Kinnick Stadium is. Top five teams in the last six matchups that Iowa has had when it's had a top five team come in. The last six times, Iowa is 5-1. Not great, Bob. Not great. You know? So Michigan was number three the last time they went to Kinnick. They enter this game at number four, and they hope to not be one of those statistics like it was in 2016, you know? So, yeah, just looking back, it's been since 2005. That was the last time Michigan won in Kinnick. They didn't play. It's not like Michigan's played at Kinnick a lot in that time frame. It's like Wisconsin, right? Like, oh, they haven't won there in almost 20 years. Well, they didn't play, haven't been playing there every other year. It's not like Penn State, right? But the last two times Michigan's faced off against Iowa, they've won those games. They played in Kinnick in 2009. I don't remember that game. I know I don't remember that game. I was living in L.A. I remember going to a watch party at someone's apartment, could barely see the TV, but I mean, it was a close game. 2011, I remember that game. Kind of felt like Michigan should have won, touchdown that didn't count there near the end, but I mean, they lost by 8 points in Iowa City. 2013, I don't remember that game, 24-21 Iowa. Certainly, I watched it. I just don't remember it. 2013 is a blur. It was a weird year. And then 2016. So, Michigan has 43 wins to Iowa's 15. Iowa has four ties with Michigan. Michigan has a two-game winning streak. Michigan played Iowa only six games ago, 42-3. So, with that in mind, I mean, it, you know, you look at that and everything. You look at the fact that Iowa has a really good defense and an awful offense. It's even a bigger disparity than it was than when they played in the Big Ten championship game. Iowa has the number six defense in the country at the moment. They finished last year the number 16 defense. So right now, it's like you look at their defense, they're allowing 236.3 yards per game. Last year, they were allowing 328.9 yards per game. So keeping in mind Wisconsin, who Michigan put up 30-something points against, finished the season 235.3 yards per game last year. I think it was a bit lower when Michigan faced off against them. Iowa is right. It's hovering right around that area. Now Rutgers threw on Iowa and managed to give up a decent amount through the air, but nothing on the ground. That's going to be the thing. Michigan loves to run the ball. Might not be able to this time around. So the only team that's run on them at all really has been Iowa State, 129 yards on the ground. But you're looking at South Dakota State, 33 rushing yards, 87 passing yards. Iowa State, 129 rushing yards, 184 passing yards. Nevada, 69 and 82. Rutgers, 61 rushing yards, 300 passing yards. But Rutgers lost the game. Two defensive touchdowns. That's the big key going into a game like this, is taking care of the football. This is where we learn a lot. And defensively for Michigan, you're just going to have to find a way to shut them down altogether. Iowa's got the literal dead last rated offense in the country. It is below Colorado State. It is below Connecticut, UConn. It is below Hawaii. Hawaii's 111th. UConn's 127th. Colorado State's 129th. Iowa is dead last, 131. Averaging 232.5 yards per game. The best that Iowa has done thus far. It's run the ball really well in the last two games. 162 yards against Nevada, 129 against Rutgers. It has threw the ball okay against Nevada. 175 yards in a weird, weird game, right? 18 weather delays, all of that. But they don't have a lot of plays. They average like 57 plays a game. They don't get a lot of yards. I mean, they haven't even topped 400 in a game. Keep that in mind. By contrast, Michigan, its offense obviously has not exactly played a murderer's row, but has topped 400 in every game. 440 against Colorado State, 588 against Hawaii, 465, 463. Averaging 7.58 yards per play. Even in Big Ten play, actually, technically, the offense was better against Maryland than it was against UConn. As far as yards per play, about the same as far as total yards, just 2 yards less. Much more rushing yards, a few less passing is what it is. Now, Iowa, however, as far as yards per play, they allow 3.45. So this is going to be the big challenge for this Michigan team. Let's continue talking about it, and we'll do that here in just a moment. But before we do, these days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps find the right people for your team faster and for free. You can go right on to LinkedIn, create your free job post. It's super easy. Then you can add your job in the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you are hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience, so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. So you're going to want to finish the year strong, and in order to do that, you're going to have to find the right team member to do that. That's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. That's linkedin.com/lockedoncollege to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. right. So very excited to see what this scenario is going to be in Iowa City. We're really going to find out about Michigan. Now, this is a game. It reminds me so much. I talked about this, I know, on Sunday. It all of this reminds me very much of what happened last year, right? Who coming out of week four was like, yeah, Michigan's going to beat Ohio State. It's happening. I'm telling you, don't transitive property things. Take each game as it is, right? Like, it doesn't matter how pretty or ugly a game is, right? Ohio State has had plenty of pretty games and then lost, if not to Michigan, to another team usually in the regular season. And, you know, you never know. But it reminds me of the fact that Michigan, now this game against Maryland wasn't as close to the final score, really kind of showed it to be, right? If Michigan kind of had the game under control, kind of felt like Maryland had no shot at getting it into a one-score game, then boom, touchdown, two-point conversion, 45 seconds left, going for the onside, game's over. So I do think it's a little disingenuous to some degree when people say, oh, look, Maryland, it was one score. It wasn't like it was one score and they were driving and then Michigan made a play. You know, they were down by 15 points at that point. The game in the second half, Michigan controlled. It was the inverse of the Rutgers game last year, where Michigan controlled the majority of the first half, second half, a little bit of a house of horrors. And then Michigan goes to Wisconsin, and suddenly it's a completely different ball game. Now, I don't know what it's going to look like, right? Because you have to keep in mind, I'm going to look here. We've talked about the sack numbers because obviously the defense, you know, you want to see them do better at getting sacks, because sacks allowed, Colorado State is the last in the country, 25 sacks allowed. So you look at that and you say, maybe Michigan wasn't just that great as far as that's concerned. But when it comes to sacks, you have to remember that, and I'm not on the right page here, when it comes to sacks, Michigan wasn't necessarily putting up big numbers at this time last year. Aiden Hutchinson did have his 2.5 sacks against Washington, but he had 5.5 sacks through the first 4 weeks. That is certainly better than any individual Michigan player at that point. He didn't get another full sack until Michigan State. From weeks 5 until Penn State, he had a grand, until Penn State, not including Penn State, he had 1.5 sacks. Then 3 in Penn State, none against Maryland, 3 against Ohio State. So things can change in a hurry, of course. But when it comes to what Michigan is at the moment, I mean, we're going to find out, because that game against Wisconsin was David Ojabo coming out, right? Right now, Mike Morris has 2. Mike Sainer still has 2. Michigan's got 11 sacks at the moment through 4 games. Obviously, 7 of those came in game 1. But 11, it's a pretty good number at the moment. Keeping in mind, Michigan finished with 34 last year. And when you look at what Michigan had going into week 5, they had 7 last year. So they have 11. They're already ahead of that curve. The question is, because, I mean, they had 6 against Wisconsin. Can they do that against Iowa? And that's going to be the big challenge, of course. Iowa isn't exactly a team that's given up a bunch of sacks. Now, you listen to Kirk Ferentz, he today or yesterday, I'm not sure what day he talked to the media. I just read the transcript this afternoon. They aren't necessarily terribly happy with their offensive line. They've given up 9 sacks so far through 4 games. They are gettable. Michigan didn't get a lot of sacks on them last year. but they are gettable. So it is incumbent upon Michigan to create pressure and to really be smart about what they are going to try to do in the run game. Again, they're not incredible in the run game either. They don't have Tyler Goodson going nuts right now. They don't have, I mean, LeSean Williams has gotten 49 carries in his three games, but doubling up almost on the next running back, Caleb Johnson, and he's got less yards. Caleb Johnson's the danger man there, 6 yards a carry, 174 yards on 29 carries. I mean, that's getting close to Blake Corum territory. So Michigan's got to be really careful when it comes to that. And if Michigan can bottle up the run game and then get to the quarterback, then the defense, I mean, this should be a type of game where the defense looks very similar to how it did against Iowa last year, or looks, keeping in mind, the starting defense only let one team cross the 50-yard line in UConn briefly, and it was near the end of the half, first half, as it was. This is a game in which, in those first three games, just to clarify, but this is a game where Iowa certainly could be in that position, but the problem is it's not Michigan's defense that poses the problem in this game. It's the offense. Will Michigan's offense be able to get enough done? Now, if Michigan comes out and just throttles the Iowa defense, then I think you can probably be like, all right, now you're working with something. Then you got to get through that. You had to get through this game. After that, you get through Indiana, road game against Indiana. Certainly looks improved on last year. They have a bit more confidence, despite the loss to Cincinnati. And then you just got to prepare for a Penn State team that might be a little tougher than everyone thought. All right, let's talk about that defensive battle here in just a moment. But before we do, from cringing at the pump to getting an eye-opening check at your favorite restaurant, inflation is hitting us all where it hurts, and it really hurts. That's why I started using Upside. Upside is an incredible app for anyone who buys gas, groceries, or dines out. With every purchase, I'm earning cash back thanks to Upside. So here's the thing. The app is super easy to use. It's too good. It isn't too good to be true, actually. It feels too good to be true, but it's not. If you used it, it works. It's a no-brainer. So what do you plan to do with all your cash back? Just go ahead, get started. Download the free Get Upside app, Use my promo code LOCKED and get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. Next, claim an offer for whatever you're buying on Upside. Check in at the business, pay as usual with a credit or debit card, and get paid. So download the free Upside app and use the promo code LOCKED to get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. That's $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more using the promo code LOCKED. All right, so obviously, it's going to be the big question is, how does J.J. McCarthy rebound? I think it's pretty evident that Michigan wasn't exactly trying to run J.J. McCarthy against Maryland. And I think that's fair, because what do you want to have happen, right? I mean, you don't want him to get injured at all, but you certainly, in a game in which you feel like you can get away without using your A-grade stuff, you don't want to necessarily go out there and give it to him, right? You don't want to even have that be a possibility. Maryland, I've seen people say things like, did Maryland give the blueprint to beat Michigan? I don't think so, right? Okay, they kept guys back. They didn't want to get beat deep. And even then, they got close to being beat deep multiple times. Throws were just off. But the way that you keep guys from saying, hey, we're just going to sit back, the way you keep guys from doing that is by running the football. We've seen Maryland fall prey to misdirection. It's the same defense that Michigan faced last year, right? Now, I don't think that you're going to be able to trot out the same exact plays and do the same exact thing, but certainly there's got to be something up your sleeve. I think that it was good in a way. If you're a team that has as much talent as Michigan has, if a team that has shown in the first three games, and I know opponent adjusted and what have you, a team that didn't show a heck of a lot of flaws in those first three games, that you can feel good. Hey, the play calling looked good. The execution looked good. you would rather have a situation where you learn your lessons through Maryland than to learn them at Kinnick, albeit a noon game. But there's no one inside the Kinnick Stadium that doesn't believe that Iowa can't beat Michigan, right? So it's funny because you get to, you know, you get to game week, you know, you watched, you know, week one, you watch week two, and you're like, all right, Michigan's going to be able to go to Kinnick and they're going to be able to get this win. You get to week five and suddenly, we'll see, right? But it's one of those things where I feel like it's good to have gotten those mistakes out. And there were certainly mistakes, a lot of them defensively, but certainly there were mistakes offensively, play calling. Joel Klatt, our good friend, had a wonderful breakdown. I know there are people that disagree with it. I endorse everything he said. You can check it out, Joel Klatt podcast, find it on YouTube. But he certainly, like when he's talking about the play calling and, you know, the Ronnie Bell jet sweep, you know, pass and not setting that up. I agree with that. I understand it's a gadget play in which it didn't work and it's going to always look, you know, you're going to hindsight the heck out of it. But I agree that that defense didn't have to respect the idea of like, okay, Bell's coming around the corner, so we better back up and get him to a good angle because we know he's going to come around the corner. They didn't set that up. A lot of offensive things sometimes are set up and pay off. I've gotten in this argument more than once. You're not always, and I don't think this was certainly the case this last week, but you're not always running plays strictly because you are trying to score touchdowns on every play. Yeah, you're trying to stay on schedule, but sometimes you're doing something to show a defense something so that so you can see how they react because you've got a little something else kind of figured in with that play. With that play design, rather. Okay, they reacted that way. Or, okay, looks like they're probably going to react this way, or if we show it again, they're going to react this way because now they know it and they're going to sit there and they're going to say, oh, we know what you're doing. And then you can do something different. That is certainly setting up plays. It's not even always an in-game thing. Sometimes it's a multi-game scenario. It's kind of like, and this isn't the exact same thing, but it's kind of like Ohio State overreacting to Donovan Edwards being out on the field. On Michigan's first touchdown play, they were so concerned about Donovan Edwards because of what they had seen the week before that AJ Henning's able to run the jet sweep in for a touchdown. That's the type of thing that I'm talking about. It's you're setting something up. Denard Robinson, how many times did we see him take that quick half step forward and then just be able to throw to a receiver right in the middle of the field, able to run for a long and easy touchdown? It's because that is set up. So I fully agree with what Joel Klatt said in the sense of they didn't really earn the right to run that play. But you know what? You live and you learn. That's the thing about having new coordinators. The beauty of it too is the schedule, the way it sets up. You're able to figure out kind of what you got personnel-wise those first 3 weeks. I know I'm really kicking a dead horse here, but you have that. Then you have your first kind of test in Maryland, and you're testing the defense. Offense didn't look great. Is what it is. Maryland's defense isn't the type of joke. I mean, it's not been shut down or anything, and it's not like they shut Michigan down either, but this isn't a Maryland defense that's just been absolutely atrocious so far this year. It's been middling. I think that's fair. It's 98th right now, of course. 409.8 yards a game. Okay. But when you consider what Maryland has tended to be, I mean, they were 85th, about the same amount. All right. So, I mean, I'm not really proving my point here. But, I mean, this Maryland defense has been a bit better. This year, certainly. I mean, we'll see how that progresses through Big Ten play, but it hasn't been an absolute train wreck or anything of that nature. But defensively, you learned a lot too. So you learned your defensive lesson against Maryland. You learn your offensive lesson against Iowa. You've got a slight breather against Indiana, not to the point where they can take any time off, but you don't have to necessarily bring your A game to beat Indiana, is kind of what I'm saying. Sorry, Hoosiers, but that's just the nature of the beast. Then you got Penn State. That one's going to be a lot tougher, I think, than anyone envisioned, but, you know, they beat Central Michigan 33-14. You got a bye week. You've got what looks to be a bad Michigan State team. Certainly, they can turn things around. That there's a lot of time between now and October 30th. Nebraska, not good thus far. Forgot Rutgers. You got Rutgers in there as well. November 5th. It could be tougher than you think. Nebraska hasn't been, that's a program in shambles, but it's going to be a defensive test. Illinois might be a test on both sides of the ball. They look pretty good suddenly. And then Ohio State. It's a nice, for those who are watching, it's just for me to be able to illustrate, it's a nice little climb. If you can get to 11-0, you've gone through enough of a ringer to get there. And there's been a beautiful setup and payoff, ebb and flow all the way through this. You just have to hope that Michigan's offensive team learned some lessons from last week and that the defensive end, not as in actual defensive ends, but the defensive side of the ball figured some things out as well. Wasn't a beautiful game by Michigan. That game was close to either being an upset. You were about three plays away from being an upset. You're also about three plays away from it being a complete blowout. That is the nature of college football. That game very much could have ended in a Maryland win if you give them three plays. Or if you just take those three, you know, take away the three fumbles, or take away a fumble, take away CJ Stokes' fumble, and add two of those long throws that just missed. Suddenly you're talking about, yeah, Michigan went and just absolutely destroyed Maryland. They've got time to figure this stuff out. You don't need to look like you can beat Ohio State in week five. In fact, it's better that you don't. It's better that you grow on a week-to-week basis, because the Michigan team that I have known and followed for the last couple decades, only a couple times has it really had that wonderfully upward trajectory throughout the course of the season. Sometimes it hasn't ended well, right? 2019 kind of looks like, oh, this team might be peaking at the right time, and it turns out no. But 2021, team peaked at the right time. That's what you want. Not looking like you're a world beater early on. Not in September or early October. We have seen that play out in Ann Arbor multiple times in the last 20 years. All right, that's going to do it for us today. I did not ask PFF back this week just because I feel like we're just going to rehash a lot of stuff. So I'm going to wait till next week. So we'll kind of do more of a reaction to what Matt Weiss, who we are meeting with on Wednesday, see what he says. What kind of stuff we can garner from him. Thursday will be the mailbag. Friday will be the preview. I'm going to try to do a guest for the preview. I've been talks with somebody. I haven't really gotten that figured out yet. Certainly we've got some old friends that maybe we'll bring back. We'll see how that goes. Anyway, thank you for watching and or listening. We will talk to you on Wednesday. Peace.